the pandemic shelter in place and the subsequent economic downturn has given us all an opportunity to assess our values and our priorities. The advent of teleconferencing technology has allowed us all to rethink where we live. And so we are leaving the major hubs and looking for other places to live less expensively, but preserve a quality of life. Cincinnati is one of those places. I'm Alexander Watson, author of River Queens, and with me are Lori Nix and Brent Gallagher. Lori Nix is a Columbus, Ohio native who left to go to New York City to start her career. She is a 2D and 3D artist and photographer whose work has been exhibited and lauded across both hemispheres. She is a Guggenheim Fellow. My other guest is Brent Gallagher, saxophonist for the Blue Wisp Big Band, urban pioneer, and owner of Cafe Vivace in Walnut Hills. Welcome, both of you.
Hey. Hello.
Lori, let's start with you. Why did you leave New York City, and what makes Cincinnati so conducive to pursuing your craft?
Well, New York, I had lived there for 19 years, and it was just getting more expensive year after year after year. And a friend in Cincinnati had said, why don't you think about relocating here? It has everything you need, plus an affordable lifestyle. So I came to visit her in Cincinnati, saw Walnut Hills and East Walnut Hills and fell in love and packed a van and moved here. And it's been fantastic ever since.
Your business partner, Kathleen Gerber, has only recently joined you. Why is it better to have you both here in the Queen City rather than perhaps maintain a beachhead in New York City?
We did do our business for almost 2 years where I was located in Cincinnati and she was in Brooklyn. And I would fly to Brooklyn, work for a week, come back, or she would come out here to Cincinnati for 2 weeks at a time and then go back to Brooklyn. But with this pandemic, it's just impossible to, you know, hop on a plane and go, or to hop in a car and drive 10 hours to go to the city. And she knew she needed to make a life change as well. She wasn't taking advantage of what New York has to offer, such as Broadway and art museums. Plus, they're all closed down anyway. So when she came to Cincinnati, she also liked how it felt, wanted a different pace in life, and relocated here. And it's important for us to be in the same studio because we're always bouncing ideas back and forth. Initially, for the last 2 years, we had just been sitting on phone calls for 2 hours at a time as we would work and talk. But it's a lot better to be able to move around the studio freely instead of attached to a phone all the time working.
Have your other creative professionals also found New York prohibitive?
Yes, several friends have left the city. One left for Toronto, one went to Denver, and a couple who live in New York now are actually returning to Indianapolis. They gave New York a try, but they feel like Indianapolis is a place better suited to them.
So you don't miss any of the connections or any of the associations that you have in New York. How do you maintain those?
Lots of emails, lots of phone calls, social media. Even in New York, when I lived there, I would only see these people once or twice a year. It's the joke is, if you move to New York, I'm never going to see you again. Unless. So we're actually more connected to the people in New York now than when we lived there.
So why East Walnut Hills? There are so many great neighborhoods in Cincinnati. Why East Walnut Hills?
Well, I have to give kudos to my friend Tracy, who, when she returned from Seattle back to Cincinnati, there was a couple of things that she was looking for, and that was a vibrant business district that was walkable and a variety of restaurants and entertainment venues, and it's all right here in East Walnut Hills.
So it's not that just the Cincinnati's location and lower cost of living. It is the neighborhoods and the people that make those neighborhoods that were important to you.
Absolutely. Every time I go out on the sidewalks, saying hello to everybody, petting everyone's dogs, it's just a much more friendly place to be. Everyone's generally happier here.
My partner and I got here 10 years ago, and East Walnut Hills wasn't what it is today, and we have watched it grow and improve. And a lot of that has to do with the Port Authority's designating this as an enterprise zone and a lot of taxation abatements, but it really doesn't count until private citizens invest private money. And that brings us to Brent Gallagher. Brent, Cafe Vivace is an absolutely wonderful addition to our neighborhood on the corner of East Walnut Hills and Kemper. I admire it because by day, it is a place for lunch. my partner is very fond of the peanut stew. And by night, it's a very sophisticated jazz club. Can you tell us how you came up with the original concept for Cafe Vivace?
Originally, my wife and I, Vanessa, had been talking about this for many years because we're both musicians. You know, as a jazz musician, you play various places and you, through the years, pick up different opinions, I should say, about how things you think are really well done and some are not. And we kind of batted this idea around for many years. About 5 years ago, we got serious about it and we started talking to few people, and one thing led to another. We got some great advice, and we ended up thinking that, well, if it's a space that's not utilized all the time, then we're kind of wasting the space. We thought about a jazz venue, of course, for jazz at night, but we both really love craft coffee and love craft beer, and we thought that would be a great way to keep people interested in the space, essentially 12, 15 hours a day. And it really works well. We're kind of a split personality business where we have quite a few people that come in during the day and don't know that we're a jazz lounge at night. And it's the other way around too. We have people that hear the music at night and then they're like, wow, you're open at 7 a.m. Found a place where I can work remotely. Unfortunately, since the pandemic hit, quite a few of the remote workers have not returned, but slowly they are. Every week's getting a little busier, which is a lot of relief for what we've had to go through the last 2.5-3 months.
You bring up that you came up with one concept, but you had to utilize the space over 15 or 16 hours. So which came first? The coffee shop, was that the primary, or was the jazz club the primary idea?
No, it was the jazz club the whole way. Uh-huh. As a jazz musician, I wanted a place where the jazz was featured, where, you know, the music was the main business entity at night, where the focus was on the stage, not, you know, at the bar and people ignoring musicians. And we kind of felt there was a lack of that sort of concept, a listening jazz room in Cincinnati for various reasons. And we had a little pushback 2 years ago for maybe a month or two when people weren't really sure what to do. But ever since then, we've grown a nice audience and people now lease themselves. When we have a show, a lot of folks who are new and they don't understand that it's a listening room. We'll have other regulars or tell them to be quiet or just give them a little evil eye. But most people come in and just hear the music at night. So the main concept was a jazz venue at night.
So tell us how you picked East McMillan and Kemper. How did you come across that location?
Essentially, it was recommended to us by Kathleen Norris from Urban Fast Forward. She helped us look at spaces, and we found that one. I actually, when I saw it first, I thought it was too small. But Vanessa, as she is normally correct 98% of the time, she said it's perfect. And so we love the spot. We love the actual building. You know, it's wonderful, classic Romanesque style. Originally, the headquarters from the Dayton Brewing Company, Andrew Hauck, was a German immigrant beer baron who actually really helped support various arts organizations through the years, the symphony, and he really single-handedly helped take care of the Cincinnati Zoo when they were really having issues back in the 1890s. And he was the owner of the Cincinnati Reds. But anyway, the building is really beautiful, and it was well-kept for a period of time, I don't know, 20, 25 years it wasn't, and purchased by the Model Group, and they renovated and did a wonderful job. And that's essentially how we picked the neighborhood. I wanted a place that was very centrally located to downtown. I want a place that was close to UC or Xavier, Mount Adams, Oakley, Northern Kentucky. And it's just a perfect spot. And in addition to the location, I wanted an urban environment that was conducive to bringing a lot of people to hear the music and check out the cafe menu and the coffee menu and the spirits menu. And I wanted it to be very inclusive, non-exclusive, and for as many people as possible.
My guests have been Lori Nix, artist and new arrival to East Walnut Hills, and Brent Gallagher, owner of Cafe Vivace. Thank you both for joining me.
Aw, thanks for inviting me.
Thanks for having me.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Alexander Watson. Thank you. Bye.